Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
My name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor here. It's great to be with you this morning. Listen to these words that will, for many of us, seem very familiar. You've heard them before. If you've not, you hear them hopefully again and again in the next 4 or 5 days. In Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 4. Just listen to these words. You don't need to open your Bibles. It's not going to be on the screen. You can even just close your eyes and listen. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. One of the reasons that we sing the songs that we do at this time of the year, one of the reasons that we go back to this text and this story, one of the reasons that we as a church are focusing these 4 weeks of Advent on the same verse within this story is so that we too might be amazed again at what the shepherds said to everyone who would listen to them, and what we've told ourselves over and over, and what many of us know to be true, that the great God of the universe, the creator of everything, sent his son into our mess, our world, our humanity, to help us, to save us, to restore us, and to be what we need that we couldn't be for ourselves. We've looked the last 3 weeks, and we will again this week, at this one verse, and we'll want to put it up on the screen for us now. And so if you've been around, it's familiar to you, but verse 10, and it says this, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" And we've spent the three phrases in there, good news, great joy, all the peoples, the shape of the last 3 weeks for us. Good news that, as the next verse says in verse 11, that a baby's been born that will be Savior, that will be Messiah or Christ, the Anointed One, and that will be a Lord or King. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what that meant. Last week, we looked at the second phrase of cause great joy, that what great joy is, that because the God of the universe loves us and has entered into our life and our world and our mess, our humanity, when we love him in return, we experience this great joy that involves emotion, but it's far beyond emotion. It's much deeper, because it's joy regardless of the circumstances. Paul said last week, we can actually have joy and pain together in this life, as so many of us know all too well. But we can have those things at the very same time when we have Jesus. We don't lose joy. And then the last one, all people. And of the three, if you were just asked, hey, which one do you feel most comfortable to talk about? Which one do you feel most comfortable to define? Which is the clearest? Good news, great joy, all people. Most of us would pick all people. Good news. I'm Okay. I got a handle on that, but I'm not sure exactly maybe what that means and all the significance of a great joy. Joy is kind of a mysterious thing to me. But all people, I got that one down. I'm not sure it's as straightforward as we think. In fact, when God actually says all people, when he communicates that through the angels, it actually might mean something very different than many of us would assume or think, or as we read it, we picture in our minds. And so I want to take a few moments right now to actually look at where we might not have as big a picture as what God has in mind when he says all people. I want us to consider a few people today that we might not actually include in that. I want us to actually see that our view of who God's love is for might be far more narrow than what God intended in what seems like on face value a very simple phrase, all people. So let's consider a few that we might not automatically include in that. I don't know if you have an opinion on this, a lot of people do, but how many of you have ever received, actually, let's just include your home, if you've got kids, how many of you have ever received, either personally or in your home, a participation trophy? Okay, I'm going to try to interpret your chuckle. Actually, I don't even know if it rose to a chuckle level there. Some of us have received a participation trophy. I don't know if you looked around the room, but not one hand shot up. That's mostly what happened. See, here's the thing, and we have opinions on this, and you might like have a very formed opinion because you either didn't get a trophy as a kid, or maybe you have kids now and you want them to receive them. We have a number of participation trophies in our home. There's a commercial out right now where a dad gets a trophy for his son, and his son's getting in on the other side of the car, and he's getting in on the driver's side, and he looks at it, and almost with this disgust that says participation, he takes out a pen, which, of course, dads have pens in their pockets all the time, and he crosses out and he writes champs on it and then kind of smiles and gets in the car because his kid was on the winning team, not just A team, but the winning team. He got in and gives it to his kid, and of course, all of us run out and buy whatever car that was. But we understand what a participation trophy is, and many of us might even have an opinion about participation trophies. They might be good for kids at a younger age, but when you get really older, you know, that actually doesn't apply to life as an adult. And so what's the age that wears out at, and when's that helpful and valuable and encouraging, and when's it not? So whatever your opinion is, we know what a participation trophy is. You get one for just being on the team, whether you actually showed up and played or not, whether your team didn't win a game or won every game. It doesn't matter. Everybody gets a participation trophy. The last one that entered into our home, we were at the pizzeria celebrating the season, and a kid that I didn't even know was on the team because he literally never showed up at a game showed up, and after eating his share of pizza, walked up and got one of the trophies out of the cardboard box because he was technically on the team. We understand what a participation trophy is. The shepherds actually probably would have felt this when the angel showed up and said, hey, I've got good news of great joy for all people. When they would have heard that, they would have gone, yeah, oh, okay. I mean, aside from being absolutely freaked out and excited, they also would have heard all people. Well, that's all the people in our nation, right? That's all of Israel. And so that's great, but it's probably for the people that are in positions of authority. It's probably for people that have been really good members of the nation, really good Jews. It's not us that are kind of on the outskirts. Or maybe it's for the people that are really in need, but we're not. We have our health. We have jobs. It's not really for us. They would have actually felt like it's for other people. But when the angel actually said, hey, I've got this announcement for you, but he follows it up with, now go and see. Go see this baby. You have an invitation. And when they would have walked into that barn-like setting and there was nobody else there, nobody else got tickets. The angel didn't go around and tell a bunch of other people to show up. It was just the shepherds. The shepherds and then mom and dad. That's all that was there, aside from the animals. They all of a sudden would have felt like it was deeply personal for them. When it says all people, many of us read that and we actually sense God's good news, God's great joy, God's love as kind of a blanket thing that's for everybody or for other people. But it actually isn't. It's not for us. It doesn't land right here. When you listen to the whole story of Jesus being born just a few moments ago, did that actually go, God loves me? When God says all people, he means you. He means me. And he intends it to feel it on a very personal level. For me, My parents, I've shared this a number of times before, but my parents both became followers of Jesus in, as young adults, and I actually grew up in a Christian home. It was a great home. I grew up going to church. It's a really good church. I didn't necessarily feel like important. I didn't even feel really known all the time. I had a sense that that God sent his son for me, and that I was forgiven, and I was loved in general. But it wasn't real personal. It was kind of everyone. God loves everybody, and so I'm kind of included in that in the same way that we get a participation trophy. But it hasn't selected me out. My name's not on that necessarily. I'm just kind of included because I'm a human. And so part of the journey of my life has been to actually sense that God is close to me personally and that Jesus knows me personally and that he loves me personally. And instead of trying to just be good, because God seems really, in my childhood mind, seems really concerned about two people, ones that are really, really good and do everything he says, and then people that are really, really messed up and in need. And I kind of fall somewhere in that missed middle. And so part of the journey of my life has been to realize that it's not just either end, it's all included, regardless of where we perceive ourselves, and that this message of all people is actually personal, intimate, for me. It's for me. And the way that God has done that over and over through my life is he's brought people into my life at different levels of intimacy and friendship with me to give me a very intimate message. And that's been to look me in the eye and to say to me, God loves you, Tim. God knows you, and he loves you. He doesn't just love people. He loves you. He knows you, and he loves you. He knows all of your faults and all of the great things about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and he knew you before you were born. The people, and one of the great gifts of being here at this particular church is that God has used probably a half dozen people that have consistently come up to me at different levels of intimacy. Some I would consider kind of acquaintances, though they're part of the Mosaic family. Some I would know very, very well, and they've looked me in the eye and they've said, God loves you. He calls you his son. You're his beloved. And my response to that has often been, yeah, I know, thanks. Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about Star Wars now? No. Look at my eyes. God's actually given me a message. This is weird. God's actually told me to come tell you. I know you're a pastor and you're the one that's supposed to tell everybody else that. But God loves you. He knows you and he loves you. When we read this story, as we'll read it over the next days, as we'll hear it, as we've heard it the last number of weeks, that all people includes me and includes you. And so in the midst of that, would you hear, God loves you. Don't dismiss it as obvious that God loves everyone. God loves you. When he gave the angels that message to the shepherds that day, he actually had you in mind. By name, by face, by DNA, by history, by time. He had you in mind. That's the first people that we might not think is obvious is me, is you. Second one is this. And this one's actually not obvious because the language is actually used. As Luke is writing the book of Luke, the word he actually uses for all people is a particular nation. When he says all people, that word there actually means the nation of Israel. And what's beautiful in Luke, and in not just the book, but him as a person, is that he's not in the nation. He's not a Jew by birth. He's a Gentile, and so he's writing, and he's got this message that it's actually for this nation, and it fulfills this promise that God has had to this nation, and then he goes on and writes the book of Acts, and it's kind of like a one volume, two volume. It's this whole work that he's writing, and there's this pivot point where actually he gets done with the book of Luke, and then he pivots, and he begins to write this message, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, and this is Luke writing, who wrote about the angels and the shepherds, and then he writes later in Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And what he's saying is that all people, while it starts, at first is heard with the people of Israel, the Jews, it then is intended to expand to every single person around the globe. And for us today, that might be, it might be natural or obvious for us to picture those that are most in need. We can't help but hear all of the stories and the reality of refugees fleeing the Middle East, and particularly the Syrian refugees, is that crisis has only exponentially increased over the last few months, and they're in need. Or because God has called us to be a church that's engaged in the needs in Haiti right now, we're aware of the lack of clean water and the lack of health care in that nation and the suffering that people experience that we don't give a second thought to. And we're also aware of those that need God's love and rescue. So many children in Southeast Asia that are trafficked for their labor and for their bodies, that they're included in all people because they're in need. And while that's totally true, who also is included in all people are the people that have explicitly, intentionally, and worked hard to reject God's good news that causes great joy because of his love for us. Radical Islamic terrorists who have violent means and a goal that is actually counter to what Jesus wants to do in this world. All people includes them. Radical Christian terrorists that twist God's word and use it for violent means to get their power in the way that they want it. God's love includes them. Any religion that discounts the person and work and salvation that's offered through Jesus is included. Those in Western Europe, if you track the history of that part of the world, that have worked hard to develop an intellectual atheism that says believing in Jesus, believing in a creator God, trusting scripture is just not smart. It's for dumb people. All people is for them. God's called us as a church, as Mosaic, to be engaged in Kosovo. I got to go there a few weeks ago, and I've shared some of the stories I experienced there. And one of the things that we've heard is the number of people that have come to faith in Jalan, where we're engaged in, and two families from Mosaic are there that are part of a team. And just in the last less than a year, there have been six people in that city who have come to trust in Jesus, have heard the story of good news that brings great joy that is for all people, and have turned their lives to Christ. Six people. There's now 30 people in that city of 90,000 who are following Jesus and trying to figure out what that means for their life, and seeking to learn to hear from him and live for him in that city where so few actually know him. When it says all people, when the angel said that to the shepherds, and when we hear it today and remind ourselves of it today, it's for those people. It's for the whole world. It's for every person that's ever lived, whether they've rejected God, whether they're in dire need. It's for them around the globe. It's all people. And that kind of covers it. It's for me, it's for you, and it's for people all around the world, right? If we left it at that, we'd be living out a significant chunk of people in this world that when we read it, it's very easy for us to kind of dismiss or to turn a blind eye to. And so the third and last group of people that God's love extends to, that this message extends to, that we might dismiss is people who we don't like. Right? Gosh, this is such good news. I mean, that God came for me and for you, that he loves me, that he sent his son, that Jesus lived the radical, amazing life that he did, that he gave his life. But if you knew my neighbor and what they actually believed about the debates that happened last week, I'm not sure God's love extends to them. Because they've actually got this sign in the front yard, and if I told you what sign they had in the front yard, you would be convinced that they're a lost cause. There's no way that God's love would extend to them. Which they might be thinking the same thing about you, but let's not worry about that. Or if you knew the people in my city that I interact with on a regular basis that have a completely different view of sexuality than I have, there's no way that God's love would extend to them. Do you know how different they are? Do you know how much I disagree with them? Do you know how uncomfortable I am when I'm around them, when I see them, when I hear them, when I interact with them, when I buy from them, when I sell from them, when I drive next to them and ride next to them and sit next? Was the angel actually talking about them as well? There's a person you maybe work with that's a guy or a girl, and they tell you that, you know, they're calm and respectable. They believe that there's no way that there's any way for anyone to know if God's real, and therefore an agnostic, or maybe they're an atheist, and that they never get upset about anything. They're calm, and yet when you end up talking to them about what you believe, they all of a sudden start yelling at you. I'm pretty sure they're outside of who God means when he says all people. That guy's lost, right? Whether we think that intentionally or whether we don't even consider it, the reality is that when the angel said to the shepherd that on behalf of God, he's announcing that there's good news of great joy that's for all people. It's for the people that don't look like us, don't talk like us, don't think like us, don't live like us. It's for the people that we might not even like, that we dismiss, that are outside of our purview, it's outside of our range, it's outside of our view. That God's love is for them just as much as it is for us, just the same as it is for us. And I would even go a step further, and I would say, it's the very reason we are a church right here in this city at this time. Because while we might actually now know that God loves you and loves me, we might believe, and hopefully we do, that God's love is for all people everywhere around the globe. That there are thousands upon thousands of people who, though they are very near to us in this city, are very far from the truth and salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ. And so we want to be that kind of a church. We want to be that kind of people. That while we might feel like aliens and strangers in this city, that God has placed us here to be his good and truth and hope and love for the people that are around us. Next month in January, we're going to start looking in the book of 1 Peter that has this amazing message to people in the first century that were following Jesus and how they felt like such outsiders because they had been following Jesus. And it's the very same way that many of us feel. And yet God's placed us here at this time and called us not just to endure, but to thrive and to be his light and love in this city. Because when the angel said to the shepherd that Jesus is good news that causes great joy, and it's for all people, it involves every single person in our city, whether we're drawn to them or repelled by them. And it's happening here. Over the last few months, there's been at least three stories that I know of. I'm sure there's more that I don't know of people who have come to believe and follow Jesus because of people in our community reaching out to them, not because they walked into these doors on a Sunday. That's been the story of a number of people. But the three I'm thinking of are people that were in relationship with other people in Mosaic when they said, hey, let me share my life with you. Let's have coffee. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. You're very different than me. And yet the God that I know loves you. One of the things that we've been doing throughout Advent has been coming to these tables in front of us and upstairs and reminding ourselves that as God sent his son, Jesus, born as a baby, that he actually had this plan all along that he would grow to adulthood, would live a radical, amazing life, and then would lay down that life. And it tells us the story, and it reminds us the story that God's love is for you, that God loves you, that he loves me, that God loves every single person around the globe, and that God loves the people that are very different than us, that we might not even like, that God loves them. And so be reminded of that as you come this morning. Take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and remind you that Jesus has laid down his life for us as the ultimate expression of his love for us.